The 17th contact was another face-to-face meeting at almost 3 o'clock in the morning on May 9, 1975. You know, this word ME could mean so many different things, and I really don't understand who did this translation or why Wendell Stevens did not think it was necessary or important to put out a book with so many errors. On the 9th of May, 1975, sometimes the word me means I never read a sloppier book than this. Meyer waited a long time at the appointed contact point and was about to give up. So when he finally gets face to face with Sannyasi, he says, "You let me wait a very long time here for this contact." And then Sannyasi says, "I'm going to try to figure out what this means. This has come about because of our inattentiveness and because of your film and photographic labors." What does that mean? "Different problems have arisen. We had to regulate and neutralize them first. To prevent further such events, we have settled an order that for the next while you ought not to make any more photographs or films." Do you understand that? I don't. "On the other hand, the material you have is sufficient for you." Meyer, "I regret that, but you seem to be dramatizing the matter, which is a strange view of you for me." Sannyasi, "The whole matter is much more earnest than you sown to assume. Not without purpose, I had to eliminate forms of life." Okay, so she killed the tree. It's not the same tree then. "Such concerns under the laws of our race admit such eliminations only in case of an emergency. And in that case, such emergency was ahead, though it may not appear that way to you. But this you will understand if you know now that the military you watched was indeed active there on the 21st of April because of my beam ship. This we have verified, besides other concerns. Your fears and assumptions were correct. But still many other things have occurred in this respect. Thus we had to spend much time these last few days removing these difficulties. We needed to find out all those humans from out of the crowds who had reached dangerous cognitions of our activities. In all of these, we were forced to eliminate their memories, in this respect to avoid harm of any kind. I know that the confusions and troubles have been serious, and I dramatize them in no way. I also understand that for some while I cannot allow any more photographs, films, etc., and this by longer sight, whatever that means. Instead, I will allow you to capture other things onto your films. But there is still some time and you have to be patient." Sannyasi then answered a number of Meyer's questions, to a point where Meyer felt he had to bring the meeting to a close and get home. An interesting sidelight on that is offered in the closing exchange of dialogue. Meyer says, "I understand completely, and I am well satisfied with what you gave. But for today this may be sufficient, because I have to go home again into my bed." Sannyasi apologetically says, "I regret having to tear you out of your sleep, and you must be still tired because of it." Meyer says, "Of course I am, and besides I'm freezing, and in spite of the warm days, the nights are still cold. But the real cause is my wife, as I left without waking and informing her. If she suddenly wakes and I'm not there, then she will be afraid. Thus I have to go home again and lay in the bed like nothing happened." Now, you know that Billy Meyer and his wife divorced, and you know that she said that he made up all this stuff about the aliens. And that was a pretty low-down thing for her to do after what the two of them went through. Him leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning like this, and him being concerned about his wife and his family and their worrying. She knew very well that he was meeting with aliens. She saw the ships come in. She saw all the photographs. She heard all the conversations. And so for a woman to turn on her husband at a time of divorce is what so many women do. They get really nasty and they want to hurt you any way they can. And so she said it was all a hoax. And when you read this story and you see these details about their marriage and his activities and his struggle to survive, you have to give him credit for what he went through and what he achieved, and his mission and the purpose of all of this, to bring this truth to us and to spare this planet the war that's going to blow it up like Maldek. And you have to look at his wife as someone who did a disservice to mankind just because she wanted to injure her husband at time of divorce. And I'd like to ask her a question. Which is more important to you, human survival or revenge? Because if you chose revenge, as it appears that you have, then you sold out humanity just for the pleasure of revenge. Let's continue. The 18th contact on the 15th of May, oh, they spelled it right this time, 1975, beginning at 21:34. Now, let's see, you subtract 12. Is that 9:34? In the evening, offered a most profound discussion of the nature of spirit and underscored the need for Meyer's mission now. It is considered so important that the whole opening discourse is reported here. Sannyasi opens by saying, "Before today, we were discussing other things, but today, I want to continue with the discussion of spirit. A person may react to the word or the designation creation in different ways, as though it were something apart and beautiful or good. Such is not exactly the case. Such characterizations as omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing are valid characterizations of the very nature of spirit. A person may react to the word or the designation creation in different ways, as though it were something apart and beautiful or good. Such is not exactly the case. Such characterizations as omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing are valid characterizations of the very nature of creation. Millions of religious humans do not understand the true nature of the creation. Whenever they speak of it, they tend to personify it as a God being, which is then itself a separation from the creation. And they confuse the idea of the creation. So it is very important to know as much as possible about the character and the nature of the creation. For when the word is understood properly, it buoys the inner mind and connects it to its source as soon as the word is heard." How do you do that? In another context, the creation was described as the sum of all that is manifest and unmanifest, the matter realm being only a very small part, and that all that is the creation experiences its polarization, which produces the created and its experience, all of which continuously adds to the total experience of the creation for further application in that which is created. In other words, it is us and works through us, and we are it. There is no separate personification indicated, except as some part chooses to represent itself as such, which any part can do within its own level of concept. So, in other words, there is no God, and personifying creation as a God is okay, but that we can all be gods. That's what this says. There is no separate personification indicated. There is no God, except as some part chooses to represent itself as such. So God can represent himself as such, or we can represent ourselves as creation. And any part of creation can do this within its own level of concept. Yes, Sannyasi, you're right. We don't understand the creation. And religion certainly doesn't explain it for us. It gives us a belief that God is a person, and the creation is clearly not a person. It's creation, which includes us. Okay, so we're struggling to understand the creation. That's what she's saying, that's what the author is saying, and if the listener understands these sentences in any other way, please set up a YouTube and explain it, because we're all dying to hear it. The experience reveals the creation as unlimited beauty, harmony, wisdom, knowledge, and truth, enduring endlessly. Whenever a human perceives a thing of beauty, a flower, an animal, clouds, water, landscape, music, color, etc., he or she considers it in connection with the limitless grandeur of the creation itself. When a human recognizes and realizes this, then he or she knows that this recognition springs from limitless cognition which itself is the creation. Wherever life moves, even inside the tiniest creatures, like a microbe, one sees the limitless creation. What is the purpose? What is the point of all of this? Why do we have to go through these experiences? Next card. The creation is inside of every human being and every other creature and thing, being a fraction of that manifestation itself. Once this thought has penetrated deeply inside a person, and he or she can experience it, one loses all fear and doubt. When one knows one's contact with the all-knowing, almighty creation, one enjoys peace and tranquility. I had a near-death experience, and I was scared to death. I saw the white light, and I headed towards the moon, and it was frightening for me at 10 years old. I didn't see this tranquility. I didn't feel this peace or tranquility. I just felt terror. Back to the script. Reflection on this gives the name creation great meaning. The more one meditates in this reality, the more his or her intelligence is illuminated, and the more powerful his personality becomes, and his whole life and labor is blessed. The creation rises in his consciousness, and he senses peace, strength, knowledge, wisdom, delight, and hope. Well, there was a change in those who meditate, and peace is what I seem, calm, relaxation. But I think anybody who concentrates on clearing their mind will achieve the same, because life fills your mind with clutter and confusion and panic and desperation, especially living under a Nazi system. Continuing now. He can overcome obstacles and achieve his objectives and suddenly has no more need for purely material things. I disagree. As long as we have a money system, we're all going to need to make money. And that's going to bring out the worst in people. They're not doing their labor for love. They're doing their labor so that someone else can tax them and take part of it and be rich from our labor. Back to the script. One must learn a spiritual, intellectual manner of thinking and recognize its validity until the first successes are achieved. But the way does not stop here, because further exploration, research, and development and further recognition leads to the limitless endurance of time. Everything may happen in the course of time to prevent one from achieving his or her objectives. But the spiritualized person knows no limits and does not allow himself or herself to be stopped, short of his or her goals, by any events of the future. For him, the future always exists in the present, wherefrom he becomes determined to do everything here and now to obtain the highest spiritual state of consciousness, and he does not fear the future, for the future is now, just as present as the present itself. No, I disagree. I don't think the future is now. The future is the future. How can you say the future is now? You can affect the future now by doing things now, and the only time you have is now, and you don't have the past, it's just a memory, and you don't have the future because it's not here yet, you have the now, and you must act now in order to affect the future and create a pleasant past. So this is mumbo-jumbo garbage coming from an alien. And the last sentence, when the spiritualized being sees others before him, he sees the creational in them. No, what I see in the Illuminati and those who control us, the Committee of 300 who want to murder us, I see evil. I don't see them as any part of creation. I see them as pure evil. And the power corrupted them. And we need to break down that power so they don't have nearly as much of it. And then they'll be much less corrupt. And the job to do is to reverse the concentration of power and disperse it. And when the number of governments in the world equals the number of people in the world, we're going to have peace. Because each person will be his own president. And he will decide what the future will be, not someone on a committee of 300. The conversation continues, and Meyer says, what you are saying sounds so understandable and logical. Oh? Oh? If only humans could comprehend it. Well, what are you, Meyer? You are human. You understand it? What do you think, that her words are understandable by you and not by us? I don't understand what she's saying. I think it's mumbo jumbo. And I think Wendell Stevens did a sloppy job in proofreading this book. The ideas are not clear. I do not understand any more about the creation except that religion is bogus and that they're saying there is no God. It's not a person. The creation is the creation. Well, what's the purpose of it all? Have the aliens discovered what is the purpose? I come here for answers to the big questions, and I get a bunch of abstract mumbo-jumbo. Sannyasi says to Billy, "So they will. The humans will understand. But this will not happen tomorrow." Well, that was 1975, and we've had 37 years pass since then. So she says it will not happen tomorrow, nor in the next 37 years. You and your group are only laying the basic stones for an avalanche that will start much later. Much later is an abstract term. How much later? The next line reads, "More discussion of the nature of spirit and even of prayer took place, and then the dialogue took a new and unusual track." Sannyasi says, "But now I have a question for you." Oh, what great wisdom can we impart to the alien? "You explained that you would develop our matter, about which I still have seen nothing. Have you failed in this respect?" What is she talking about? His dissemination of this truth to the whole world? She gave him lots of photos. She gave him lots of lessons for many years. And now it's time for him to take a microphone and stand before a camera and broadcast to the world the lessons he learned. And she says to him, "But now I have a question for you. You explained that you would develop our matter, about which I still have seen nothing. Have you failed in this respect?" And then Meyer says, "I don't want to call it exactly that, to have failed. As in our last discussion, too many things came up, and I still could not speak thoroughly about the matter. But by the end of this month, everything should be in the right position. In this respect, I already improved the pre-work, which I still have to transmit to the others." And Sannyasi says, "Then I am calmed, for I wanted to know this matter being regulated before I leave for some time, and will be in contact with you by thought transmission only." And Meyer says, "You mentioned this before. What are you doing that is so important?" Sannyasi says, "This is destined for your ears only." And then she tells him, and Meyer says, "That is very interesting, and now I understand your secrecy." God, tell us! I'm dying to know. The reference was to some activities being carried out by some other extraterrestrial beings from a planet and a constellation our astronomers call Reticulum. Ooh, they gave us an idea about that. How about it? Sannyasi says, "It is well that way because there is much connected with it, but now I have a proposal for your group, before I do go away for a longer time, to turn their attention once more to my ship. At a given time, which for certain reasons I do not want to announce in advance, I will again give your group the chance to see my beam ship. Regarding this, I have again chosen a time of night, because in the darkness everything can be better observed. I will demonstrate for them the possibilities of the different energies, which in the darkness can be well seen for their light effects. Some kinds of energy I can only use high in the atmosphere to avoid deadly effects on earth forms of life. Nevertheless, this will be an unforgettable show for your group members observing the demonstration, as well as for any other casual observers, because I will exercise no protective means against sight." Wow. Is it radiation? And why would they use that? And what happened to all these people who saw this? There were 25 people living at that compound. Did she allow all 25 to see it? Why have we never read one word from these other people? The testimony to corroborate Billy Meyer's story and deny the ex-wife her pleasure in seeking revenge against Billy. Why haven't those witnesses become disciples to spread this truth? These are things I wonder about. "You are requested to take necessary action, to observe protection needed, as well as to be sure that no others besides yourself come any closer to my ship than 910 meters, because they could be harmed. You I will protect and screen in this respect, so that you suffer no harm. The rest, the hell with them." Why did she say that? Why doesn't she just protect all of them? She says, at this action, it would be of much meaning and worth for yourself and your group, and for our whole mission too, if you would take with you some uninitiated observers who work with public organs and in offices having decisive influences. Oh, why don't we invite the president's cabinet out? But take care that these persons be suited for our matter and not be detractors seeking to disrupt. In consequence, be very careful. Select those persons carefully, but don't initiate them by any means into how and why of the undertaking, but only explain it as dealing with an interesting matter which they will witness. Arrange for these persons according to written clarification, because this will be of importance later. Meyer says, you suddenly go very far, Sannyasi. As I consider that hitherto you were very eager to protect yourself and your ship at every circumstance. I agree. Sometimes these Pleiadians are weird. They don't think straight. They're inconsistent, like us. Yet, they travel the galaxies. I'd love to catch up with them. Sannyasi says, it will be a unique one-time demonstration, which I will not repeat again, but this demonstration has become necessary to underpin your whole coming work for your group. We don't want to give your group only reports and objectives, but as well to help them to be of service to you when such is demanded, suitable, and necessary in our view. Meyer says, that's but really, nevertheless, very much. In fact, more than I ever expected. I don't know what he means. The sentence is not clear. Sannyasi says, I know, but now to other matters, being destined for you and me alone. Much of this restricted information was never intended for anyone other than Meyer, and was only imparted to him for his own better understanding of the mission. Those parts of these messages may never be released. This contact initiated another spectacular first in the annals of the contemporary UFO phenomenon. These extraterrestrials had this time not only announced their appearance in advance, but they now invited the observers to bring outside witnesses and even information media people to witness a demonstration to be put on by the UFO nauts. Others of Meyer's group of friends witnessed such demonstrations also earlier and later, such as Jacobus Bertschinger with Meyer on the 14th of March, 1976. Hans Schulzbach on the 23rd of April, 1976. Wolfgang Witzer on the 6th of June, 1976. Okay, I had queried about the witnesses, and now at least we have some names, so I'm satisfied. All reported in the preliminary investigation report on the case. On Saturday, the 12th of June, 1976, another whole group, again, including some outsiders, with four 35mm still cameras and one 8mm movie camera, observed and photographed together and simultaneously from different vantage points an even more astounding flight demonstration put on by the extraterrestrials. This is reported also with samples of the photographs in the reference indicated. This has never been heard of before or since, and the flight demonstrations were such at all altitudes and all parts of the sky that pyrotechnics was completely out of the question. There was no way one man or even a team of men without real spacecraft could have staged the displays witnessed, and still you have some who don't believe it. They see piles of bodies at the end of World War II, and they deny the Holocaust, as if all those videos were faked, bulldozers pushing piles of bodies into a hole. It was during an earlier demonstration for Meyer and his group on the 3rd of April 1976 that they were pursued by unwelcome observers with direction-finding equipment on top of their cars. They had located Meyer in the woods, evidently through an informer or by bugging his motorbike, and were closing in on him when Sannyasi warned of their approach and where they were. Meyer was forced to take a different route out of the forest and crashed into a ditch on his moped, fracturing a rib and dislocating his shoulder in addition to abrasions and mud all over him. Sannyasi, before departing from the scene of the demonstration, which included 5 ships that night, arrived with a small apparatus that she applied to Meyer's rib area. When she did this, he felt an electrical sensation and the rib was healed. She said because she had not brought the right instrument, she could not do much for his shoulder or his twisted foot. After that treatment and some distraction of the pursuers by the extraterrestrials, Meyer made his way out of the forest by another route and arrived home alone, muddy, wet, and bruised, but not seriously injured. No broken rib. The 19th contact at 2:09 in the afternoon on the 16th of May 1975 was a thought transmission in which Semyasi gave Meyer a rundown on F.O., who was trying to contact him. He then decided not to be available. The 20th contact was called by Meyer to get some answers for himself. It took place on the 20th of May, 1975. Meyer said, "I tried different ways in the last few days to make contact with you, but failed completely. I have some important personal concerns which I wanted to discuss with you." Semyasi said, "I have recognized your attempts, but for certain reasons I did not arrange myself for them. You have first to come to certain understandings yourself." Meyer said, "Exactly about that do I want to talk to you. First, I had a strange experience after our last contact, just a few hours later. Besides my closest friend, I have not mentioned this to anyone, because I first want to be clear about this. And because of this, I want to ask you whether you have intrigued anything in respect to my strange experience. I do not know what I should think of it." Semyasi said, "You are very cautious and scarcely express yourself. So you evidently want to know what child of truth I am." What does that mean? Meyer, "You are wise." Semyasi, "Also you honor me. It may indeed be traced back to me, if this answer suffices." What does that mean? Meyer says, "It suffices as far as my assumption, but I want you to let the cat out of the bag. Spill the beans. Show what you know. Lay it on me." And Semyasi says, "You likely mean that I should give you more information." Right! "This you shall get. Our High Council has considered you mature enough for contact with a higher form of spirit, which has passed beyond the rebirth and reincarnation cycles." Ooh. Fifth dimension? Sixth dimension? Seventh dimension? "Because of this, we have informed the creature of that spiritual dimension and sphere who has..." That word is probably started. "Who have started communication with you." They have stared, but I don't think that's correct. "This creature has started communication with you. Thus, try for higher concentration and a faculty of acceptance to fulfill the task. It will be difficult and time-consuming." What does that mean? Meyer says, "You have fun with me, because from where shall I take all this time to dedicate myself to still more such kind of things? I do also have to care for the livelihood of my family. How shall I do this then? You would think that the lady could create a whole bunch of fruits and vegetables that he could sell to get money. They have devices that can heal a rib. Doesn't she have a device that can turn energy into a bushel of apples so he can sell them? Does Semyasi understand the concept of money? There are many forms of money. A bushel of apples is real money, not fiat currency. She doesn't have to counterfeit the currency. She could produce a bushel of apples. Who's going to question a bushel of apples? If she produces gold, they keep track of it, and you have to tell them where you got the gold. But a bushel of apples can be turned into liquid currency quickly. I don't understand these Pleiadians. Semyasi says, "This problem is known to me," but she has no solution. "And also, I know that your added work will consume much time, many months and years even." Meyer says, "But I won't be able to survive that long. How else shall I live and still be able to take care of my family? His wife is going to leave him." Semyasi says, "The time will be difficult for you and your family, but it will be worthwhile time. Just create the apples and let the guy go. You want to bring your fellow creatures help and show them truth? in consequence of which you also take need and misery a short time upon yourself? No goals are achieved without troubles and sacrifices. Remember the real prophets of the past and what they accepted. Yeah, I remember Jesus creating a whole bunch of fish from one or something like that and reproducing the wine. You have the equipment on board your ship. You made breakfast. You created enough water to take a bath, a shower. Just put a little fruit in the basket. Last sentence. They as well were not spared. So she's telling him, just suffer. Why? What's the point? Well, Billy gets a little irritated and says, you have me under delusion with your confounded logic. On the other hand, you evidently imagine that all is very easy for me, but I am not living in any heaven, just simply on the earth. Sannyasi says, it will not be as hard as that, so don't get excited. And Meyer says, you can talk easily, for you are not in need of chasing for the money. And Sannyasi says, don't worry, for I know that all will not become as bad as you at this moment assume. Meyer says, that's of nonsense and gossip use for me, but there is likely little else for me than to just scoop out of this soup. Must be a Switzerland expression. Sannyasi says, I know that you are reasonable, because the welfare of your fellow creatures is established inside of you. Meyer says, this view will likely as well be your logic when I get worked up as a dead body for fertilizer, yes? And Sannyasi says, you make harsh and peculiar jokes. Sannyasi is basically telling him, we want you to go out there and sell the whole world on this idea, and we want you to do it without an expense account. While the enemy has a lavish expense account and a salary all piled on top of the taxpayer, and they alone share the burden for all of this lavish spending. It's not reasonable for the Pleiadians to come here and expect someone to carry this message to the world without any salary or expenses. He's supposed to do all this for them and for the planet, but not have any remuneration. When they have advanced technology and they could easily give him something he could sell that would not arouse attention, like minerals that are too valuable. You know, cucumbers, squash, tomatoes, bell peppers could be marketed. They have 25 people, each of whom could go to the markets and sell these goods. Instead, there's no income for anybody. So naturally, Meyer wants to quit. He can't handle it anymore. Continuing the reading, when pressed for a name, the new communicator said it could be called Arahat Athersata. It now began to take up a good deal of the little time Meyer had left over from necessary pursuits, and Meyer was becoming disenchanted and wanted out. He had tried, and it was just not going to work. He called for a meeting, and the 21st contact took place at 2:06 a.m. on the 27th of May, 1975. Meyer said, there has just been a demand for me to see you and talk to you. At home, I'm still working and find no calm. The only day I did not get away from the typewriter, writing the message Arahat Athersata gave me. My wife laid down for sleeping 1 hour ago, and so I can leave undisturbed. I have reflected very thoroughly about what you have told me, but I don't find a way out or how I can manage it all. Everything is consuming too much time. The contacts with you, then the contact reports, which you later transmit to me again, and the tasks and demands which I perform for you, and now still the writing of the messages from Arahat Athersata. All this together is simply very much, and I can no longer earn the livelihood for my family and myself. I already told you once, I live here on the material earth, and not simply someplace in heaven. You evidently imagine it all too easy in respect to our life, which here depends on financial means still. It seems to me if you cross the galaxy in order to undertake an endeavor, that it should be carefully planned. This looks slipshod when you don't consider that Billy Meyer has to earn a living and that he cannot be making meetings at 2:00 in the morning and disrupting his whole family to do so, and running the risk that his wife will discover him gone and worry about him. And then when he gets home, he has to provide money, and there isn't any. And she's probably complaining about that because women need to have money to spend, to buy food and stuff. I'm not sure what's going on here, why people would cross the universe and travel such a distance. It takes 7 hours for her to get here, 7 hours to get back. Couldn't she plant crops some out-of-the-way place and then rush to the future and grab them and take them back to Billy? Sannyasi says, surely I see your hesitations and problems, but all the matters are nevertheless too important to be menaced by sorrows of that kind. Sorrows? Perhaps you are causing yourself too many problems in this respect, for you will find good friends who will assist you in this, like Randall Winters, Wendell Stevens. On the other hand, the spreading of truth always has been connected with problems, which should be evident to you. Do once remember all the truth announcers of former times who had to overcome similar problems. Yes, I remember when Jesus overcame the problems. He multiplied the fish and the wine. He cheated. And she says, but why are you expressing thoughts in this direction? Because he can't take it anymore, Sannyasi. Hello? Meyer asks, why? I consider that a peculiar question from you. Does it occur to you that I do have to feed my family and keep it alive? I cannot simply let my wife and children go hungry. And there are other things coming together, creating each month new problems. These are running costs for the house, telephone, electricity, insurance, etc. Sannyasi says, I hadn't considered all this. I hadn't considered all this. Because such problems are some strange to us. You came all the way across the galaxy to help us get through this problem, and you forgot that we are a money society? And then she says, under these conditions, it is better if we defer at least some things for a while and continue them in later years. So, that is the end, apparently. Meyer says, that is well and fine, Sannyasi, but you are not considering that I grow older and will not live eternally as a miserable little earth human. The discussion then turned to the possibility of the Pleiadians bringing Meyer crystals to sell to raise money and the nature of radiations stored in crystals. If this sounds like a pitch for money now, we must remember that when Meyer was making this complaint to the UFO notes, nobody was reading these notes. And he was, in fact, in dire straits. We have tried to put ourselves in his shoes at that time. He was working as a night watchman when this started, and then very soon the UFO nuts took up so much of his time, both day and night, that he lost his job.